Well, Vice President Joe Biden enters the presidential race and very quickly faces attacks from both sides of the aisle, even both sides of his own political party.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Like we said, Joe Biden is a little bit of a trial by fire. He enters the race. It looked like it was smooth, though there were definitely some missteps along the way about when he was going to enter. People saw him filming the video that basically was the announcement video months ago. There was really no question. He did a couple times hedge, maybe was like rethinking it. But everyone assumed he would get in the race. So you assume then if you have that much time to prepare that things are going to go smoothly. Well, maybe don't place a phone call to Anita Hill 25 years later without knowing how she's going to respond, bringing that issue back up in a Me Too era at a time when, and listen, I'm no fan of what happened to Justice Thomas in that hearing or what Anita Hill did and kind of how the Democrats did that. But Joe Biden's been heavily criticized by these Me Too liberals and feminist groups because of not allowing more witnesses to come and defame the great Justice Thomas. So Anita Hill said, apology not accepted. Good way to start your presidential campaign, Joe. You maybe had a nice fundraiser in Philadelphia. We don't have numbers from that yet. And here's a line which is interesting, similar, and it's kind of funny coming from the Sanders crowd. You know, President Trump called him Sleepy Joe. The Sanders crowd said this. Alexandra Rojas is a former field organizer for Sanders and is now running a liberal group backing Sanders, called Biden the old guard of the Democrat Party. So he's being called old from both sides, sleepy by President Trump and old by the Sanders team. And she said he was responsible in part for failing to stop President Trump because he was part of the Clinton team that didn't get out there to the Midwest, didn't get out there into the Rust Belt. So again, it's very interesting to see how the response is coming in. Now, Sanders himself has tried to keep it more up on up, but I think he's going to let his surrogates do the attacking, and he's going to be Bernie Sanders. Than, I want to go right to you. For a professional politician, I think what Joe Biden at least has shown in these first 24 hours is why Joe Biden has never been a good presidential candidate.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, we said yesterday on the broadcast, Jordan, that it won't be a free pass, and the last 24 hours have shown that it's been exactly the opposite. He's been attacked from both sides. Jordan, the accusation that he's not battle-tested, at least at this level, I mean, I actually think that's a little bit generous to him. I think he is battle-tested and found to be lacking. I mean, when he's tried to engage at this level before, unless he's been a number two, he has not been successful. And I would just point to maybe one larger dynamic. Jordan, I really do think that the size of this field favors someone like Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders' support is deep, and it kind of is what it is. When new candidates enter the race, he doesn't really lose anything. And the opposite would be true. If it would be a one-on-one, I don't know that he would pick up that many from people exiting the race, too. Joe Biden is exactly the opposite in my view, Jordan. I think he needs a one-on-one to have the best chance to get the nomination, but he does not have that. And the last 24 hours shows that he's going to be the target from all sides inside this race. When the field is 20 wide, Jordan, that's a problem.
I mean, these mainstream Democrats who are backing Sanders are saying it's up to Bernie. I mean, they're backing Biden to rein in his surrogates. He didn't do that in 2016, and it was to the great detriment of the party. They are nominating Than, the candidate who is going up against the single toughest rhetorical presidential candidate I've ever seen. Put aside his surrogates, they can't even touch what he's able to do. I'm talking about President Trump. And they're worried about their campaign surrogates being too tough on Joe Biden. I mean, to me, again, this shows if you're going to prepare to take on Donald Trump in this new era, campaign surrogates shouldn't be the ones that are bothering you. Pretty weak.
Like a creek. The general election, Jordan, will be the ocean. If you can't handle the creek, better not sail to the ocean.
Yep. Okay. So we're going to take your phone calls on this Joe Biden rollout. What do you think in this last 24 hours? People had a lot to say yesterday as he was announcing. What do you think now with the Anita Hill stuff, with the criticisms? Call us 1-800-684-3110. We want to take your phone calls. We're
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
President Trump is going to like Joe Biden trying to spin a Make America Great Again. Maybe it's not as good of a slogan for a hat. Didn't wear my hat today. Maybe I could have. I have multiples. I have the red, the white, I got the camo, I got the orange. You got to have those. Historical thing. Historical thing. Than shake his head. It's historical. And again, I think that we're on the path to making America great again. That's why it's kind of bizarre that Joe Biden said this, again, a classic, I'd say it's a gaffe again because he's playing right into the playbook of President Trump. By the way, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, on this Joe Biden rollout in the last 24 hours. Why are we focusing so much on Biden? He is the leading contender right now. We don't know what his fundraising numbers are yet. We do know that he's got some serious staff from the Obama team that will be rolled out as well. I think we'll probably get his fundraising numbers maybe tonight. After the first 24 hours, usually that's one margin is first 24 hours. That started yesterday, so they're probably compiling that. But what do you think of this rollout? I mean, the Anita Hill thing, I don't like harping on that because I think what happened to Justice Thomas was as he described, a high-tech lynching. But Joe Biden is now being under criticism from Anita Hill, saying she doesn't accept his apology for how he treated her when he was Senate Judiciary Chair. Doesn't sound like the guy who's going to be carrying the mantle for the new left of the Democrat Party, but still is the front runner. And then he makes a gaffe like this. I want to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110, because now we get Joe starting to talk to reporters more and more. Take a listen, Bite 5.
Do you have a message for the rest of the world? Yes, America's coming back like we used to be. Ethical, straight. Telling the truth, moving in a way, supporting our allies. That, all those good things.
You mean like make America great again, Joe? Yeah, America's coming back like we used to be. Remember President Trump got criticized for saying, we were never great. It was never great. We had problems in our country. So don't say make America great again because that's bad because we were never perfect and great. That came from the left, remember. But now Joe Biden can say it, and I guess the liberals either shrug because they're not that excited about him. Maybe they will attack him over this, the hard left, because he's saying that America's coming back like we used to be. Ethical, yeah, like those Obama years with Loretta Lynch and Jim Comey and Eric Holder and the NSA and the unmasking and the FISA warrants. I mean, let's not go down that rabbit hole today. all good things, supporting our allies. Well, we've been supporting our allies pretty well, I think, when it comes to the state of Israel, now that there's going to be a town in the Golan Heights named after President Trump, a train station in Jerusalem named after President Trump, and by the way, the U.S. recognized as the first country in the world to do so, Jerusalem as the actual capital, which it is, of the Jewish state of Israel. It's also recognized the Golan Heights as part of Israel, and now other countries are starting to follow suit. So, again, I think it's kind of bizarre that he's saying America's coming back like we used to be when liberals were critical of the Make America Great slogan and saying that had some kind of Make America Great Again slogan, like that had some kind of undertone in it. 1-800-684-3110. We are taking your calls. That's 1-800-684-3110. We don't have his first 24-hour fundraising numbers yet. If they come out while we're on the air, I will let you know. That's a huge marker because I think Bernie was able to pull in $18 million, much more. I think that was triple more almost than anybody else. So that will be the first kind of big test for Biden. Could he generate the money? And did it come in donations like $1,000 donations, or did it come in the grassroots style donations like Sanders, where he can keep kind of he can keep replenishing the war chest, if you will, because if you get $40 donations, people can continue to give those on up until the limit, and you can give that many, many, many times. Let's go right to the phones. We want to take calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Glenn is calling in from Connecticut on line one. Glenn, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. Hey, I got a question. Yeah. I was just curious, do you think there's any chance that Biden is running just to make Bernie look that much better? I mean, he doesn't look great at all, but in my opinion. But
yeah, I know. I think it's tough for us as conservatives to say one is making the other look better. I think on stage they both look really old, really white, pretty out of touch in two different ways. Joe Biden, out of touch because he tries to play this middle-of-the-road Democrat that he's really a liberal, let's be honest, but the liberals won't accept him as a liberal fan, so he plays this middle-of-the-road thing, which always gets him into trouble. I'm pro-life. I believe life begins at conception, but I'm also, you know, support abortion on demand at any time. So, you know, he plays this middle-of-the-road thing, but he's not. He really is an Obama-type liberal. It's that liberals don't accept him for that, and of course, he's not going to go so far as the Sanders side. So he kind of finds himself, he's in his own kind of no-man's land because of his age and long-time experience. I think that there are other candidates that have similar views to him in the race on the Democrat side. They just don't have the baggage. But that means they also don't have the kind of apparatus that he does have. I don't want to take that away from him. I think he'd be a serious contender. He'd get a lot of votes. I mean, whoever runs against Donald Trump will get a lot of votes. It's whether or not they have a chance if they're already worried then about how 25-year-old campaign surrogates are attacking them.
Yeah, I mean, I would start by saying I don't think Joe Biden got in this race to do Bernie Sanders a favor. I just don't think that was the intention. Now, he might have done that accidentally, Jordan. And you know, in the first 24 hours, we saw this wave of congressional elections that came out for Joe Biden. And, I know he sees those as a good thing. But I think that might sort of be playing into Bernie Sanders' hands, or at least one of the other leftist candidates who are avowed leftists in the field, Jordan. You know, we saw Hillary Clinton win the nomination essentially on the backs of the establishment. I think Joe Biden is trying to be that establishment candidate. But a couple of things. One, I just don't think the establishment is the sentiment right now on either side of the aisle. And secondly, Jordan, remember, we had a pretty dramatic change in the Democrat rules on how the nomination will be confirmed. They haven't gotten rid of the superdelegates, but they have certainly diminished it. And I really believe without the superdelegates impact the last time around, Bernie Sanders would have won the election. So I think sort of trying to bill himself as the moderate centrist establishment candidate, I don't think he's intentionally trying to help the other candidates, Jordan, but I actually do think that billing probably helps them sort of on accident.
Yeah, let's go to, this is Waleed Shaheed. He is president of Justice Democrats, and they are the far left group behind the AOCs, the Ilhan Omars. I don't know if they've endorsed Bernie Sanders yet, but they're the far left. Here's what he had to say about Joe Biden entering the race. And so this is kind of the far left of the Democrat Party, Byte 29.
There's conventional wisdom about Joe Biden's electability and the kind of coalition he'll put together, but he has a lot of the fear around young people and the progressive movement about a Joe Biden candidacy is that he does not have core appeals to a large constituency of the Democratic Party that didn't turn out in 2016, especially young people, people of color, union households, and now he has vulnerabilities with Democratic women.
So there you go. That is from the left, not the right. That there's a fear that young people won't be able to get excited about him. So that constituency, people of color won't get excited about him. Union households, vulnerabilities with women. We know that with this Anita Hill saying she doesn't accept his apology because he wasn't fair. And he didn't let her attack Clarence Thomas enough with the high-tech lynching, as I agree with Clarence Thomas. But again, this is the modern Democrat Party, and Joe Biden is now getting a taste of it, and it is tough. I mean, Than, this is again. I know you're having some lighting issues in the studio in DC, but right now you look fine on the screen. This is the new Democrat Party. This is not even when Obama ran. This is not like when Biden ran the last two times for president back in the 80s and then again in the 2000s. It has changed significantly, and I think because of this president he served, the party moved more and more left.
Yeah, and I don't even think it's the same dynamic as when Hillary Clinton ran, Jordan, because look, I think even the sentiment at that time would have elected someone else except for the apparatus that was in place to make sure that the chosen candidate of the party was nominated, and that's what happened. She really built up a superdelegate lead before there was any chance to run a real campaign. But Jordan, you know what? Honestly, even if that system were in place, I'm not sure that they would be able to nominate the so-called next in line or establishment candidate at this point. They all seem to be running to the left, and I think probably the best indication that that's the fact is how these other candidates are behaving. They're all rushing to try to outdo Bernie Sanders. I mean, Kamala Harris, as left as she is, Jordan, she is very far left. Her initial instinct in the opening days of the campaign was to run away from her prosecutor past, which early on you would have thought that that would have been a way she would have tried to differentiate. I think she read the political tea leaves and realized that even on that issue, she needed to try to run to the left of Bernie Sanders to get the nomination. Joe Biden, Jordan, he's got plenty of leftist policies to which he could run. At this point, he doesn't seem to be trying to run to those.
All right, folks, we've got a full 40 minutes of the show left today. In the next segment of the broadcast, and we're going to get back to Joe Biden and politics, don't worry, and taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. In the next segment of the broadcast, we want to spend some time promoting Regent Law. A lot of us are alums of Regent Law, where we got our JDs. And there's a new dean at Regent. There's actually still time for you to apply. Take the LSAT, which is offered in June, and apply to start attending law school in the fall. The law school in Virginia, Regent, with the number one bar passing rate in the state in 2018. We're going to tell you about how many ACLJ attorneys, from senior attorneys to our youngest, went to Regent when we come back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We're going to get back to Joe Biden in the next segment of the broadcast, our second half hour, and really get into the politics. We want to give you a preview of that. He's had a rough, bit of a rough rollout, to say the least, and we've got a lot more to talk about there. If you've got calls about Biden, calls about the where the Democrat race stands right now, start getting those calls in now, because we can then start taking them right away in our second half hour of our broadcast, which starts in 8 minutes. So 1-800-684-3110, that's 1-800-684-3110. We wanted to do something special today. My dad is traveling. He's actually at Regent University board meetings in Virginia Beach, Virginia. He serves on the board, and he is meeting with the new dean of the law school there, who is the former retired Chief Justice Mark Martin of the North Carolina Supreme Court. He became the youngest justice in history of the Supreme Court of North Carolina at age 35, then ultimately became Chief Justice of the North Carolina Supreme Court. In 1994, at 31, he was the youngest judge in history to serve on the North Carolina Court of Appeals. And in 1992, I mean, this is, it's wild. I mean, think back to being 29. He was appointed to the Superior Court by the governor, Jim Martin, of North Carolina at 29. He is the new dean and will be a professor, so you can have him as a professor as well, of Regent University School of Law in Virginia Beach, Virginia. What you may not know is that how many current, and that doesn't even count former or people that we trained at the ACLJ, but current ACLJ attorneys, all the way from our most senior by status and age to our youngest attorneys that have attended. It's not like we only hire Regent law grads. I don't want to say that for anybody who's maybe gone to law school somewhere else or sending their son or grandkid somewhere else to law school. But we wanted to do this today because there is still space left for next year. Regent had the number one bar passing rate in Virginia. Virginia has one of the toughest bars in the country. I think it's second only to California and New York.
That's correct.
California, yes. New York, and Virginia. It was number one in the state, in a state that has some really highly ranked law schools, the UVAs of the world, the William & Marys, the Washington and Lees. And then, of course, you've got the D.C. law schools where a lot of people are taking the Virginia bar as well, like the Georgetowns and places like that. So I wanted to go through. For those of you who are thinking about law school, maybe it's for this fall, and you didn't even know you could still do it. There's an LSAT. That's the test you have to take to apply to law school, like your SAT to apply to college or ACT. It's called the LSAT. There's one more offered. It's in June. If you take that LSAT, once you get your scores, you can start then applying to Regent University School of Law. And it's regent.edu/law. So find out more information about it today, regent.edu/law, with the new dean there who's coming with excellent credentials. And you could actually begin law school in September. I mean, we're talking about just around the corner. Now, you could also get the LSAT done, get yourself ready if you're, depending on what stage of life you're at, and do it the next year. But I encourage you really to take a look today at the new Regent with the new dean there. And to underscore, if you're a listener to our broadcast, you hear a lot of Regent voices. If you think we're pretty smart, and if you agree with what we say, at least, our producer, by the way, didn't go to law school at Regent, but our producer, Will, who puts all this info together for us, got his master's in journalism there. Wes Smith, who is not an attorney but on the broadcast a lot, retired colonel from the U.S. Army, he got his master's in law there, a master's in law, so he would better understand some of the legal issues that we discuss at the ACLJ. And Miles, I want to go through, both of us are Regent Law grads. We graduated the same year. Again, you had a number of degrees. You're interestingly, I did not go to law school right out of college. I worked on political campaigns, then went to law school a few years later after college, got my JD at Regent, and then decided I liked law school so much, I went, and by the way, shows you how well-respected Region is. I applied for to do an LLM. That's a post-JD degree, and was accepted right away at a top 10 law school in the country, Georgetown. So I have my LLM from Georgetown, but I would never have gotten that LLM if I didn't have a JD degree, which I got at Regent University. So it's well-respected. The bar was, you know, it's scary to take the bar exam, but it was a breeze once I got in there because the teachers at Regent, the professors there really prepared us. But you did a number of degrees. You were even taught in college before attending law school.
That's correct. I mean, it's hard to imagine it's been 10 years since we graduated from Regent Law, but you're going to get a great education at Regent Law. We all had different backgrounds in education. I went to the University of South Carolina, an undergrad in political science, and then went to graduate school at Appalachian State and got a master's in political science, and then taught for a couple of years and worked in real estate and some other things. And then you and I met in Regent Law, and my wife also is from Regent Law. We all graduated together.
And works at
the ACLJ as a senior litigation counsel. In fact, she was in federal court just this week.
Yeah.
Arguing a case in Iowa that we talked about on the broadcast earlier.
And we've trained hundreds of Regent Law grads at the ACLJ. I just want to focus on how many of us are Regent Law grads that are working at the ACLJ. I mean, you can go to law school. I thought I was initially going to focus in tax law and then maybe come back towards ACLJ later, and then decided to go more the international route. So I got my JD there. My dad actually got his PhD at Regent. There was no Regent School of Law when he went to law school. It opened in 1986. We have some of the first attendees of the law school, our senior staff. People know Skip Ash from this radio broadcast. He has a distinguished military career, served at the Pentagon, 22 years on active duty, and he then attended law school a little later in life at Regent, one of our senior attorneys. Miles, you attended after getting a number of degrees as well. CeCe Heil was in one of the first Regent Law classes as well, or the early Regent Law classes, one of our senior counsels specializing in public policy. These are all people you hear on the radio broadcast, too. Benjamin Ben Sisney writes out Benjamin, and Matt Clark, Matthew Clark, also both Regent Law grads. They are actually, Ben is a senior counsel for litigation and public policy in our Washington, D.C. office before coming to ACLJ, but after Regent Law, he was a U.S. District Court judge. He also worked for a U.S. Senator's office. And then Matthew Clark, who was also a clerk for the Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals for Virginia before coming back to the ACLJ after graduating Regent Law. I mentioned Ben Sisney and Matthew Clark because they are my co-authors in the first book I've ever published on my own, which comes out this fall in September. It's called The Next Red Wave. It's by Center Street Publications, which is Hachette. It's the number one publisher in the world. This is a big book, a big undertaking for me. I think shows you how much respect I have for the education received at Regent Law, because I wanted to work with Ben and Matt, which we've worked on projects before, on this book. That is just a handful. We've got more to go through because there's 14 current attorneys at the ACLJ right now, Miles, who went to Regent Law. 14
That's
current
correct.
Attorneys. And then three other individuals, including my dad, with advanced degrees from Regent. And that is just people working here right now. When we come back, remember, we've got a second half hour coming up. We're going to get into Biden. We're going to get into politics. I'm still going to talk a little bit more about Regent because, again, I think it's very important. But get your calls in on politics. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Second half hour coming up. And if you've got questions about law school, this is the time to ask. 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So we'll talk about region in a little bit, but we're going to get right into politics right now. The reason we're talking about Regents School of Law, a new dean there. My dad's up there in board meetings now. Has he had a busy enough time or what? Mueller report last week, board meetings this week, so... He misses being with you on the radio broadcast every day. I promise you that. And again, he looks forward to returning very soon. But I know you all understand how busy it has been for him, and I know you're proud of what he's been doing for our country. So we were talking about it really because Regent has got some space left for even this fall. They're allowing rolling admissions. There's one more LSAT you can take in June. We'll explain that for you later in this second half hour. I want to get right back into politics again because people have been holding on to talk about that, and it's not a full hour on Regent Law today, but it is, again, I just wanted to, it's pretty impressive that the ACLJ, if this is an organization you care about, and it's not an organization that's all lawyers, obviously, and we have many senior attorneys who went to law school before Regent existed, but right now we have 14 attorneys at the ACLJ who attended Regent School of Law. We have three additional senior staff who have advanced degrees, so post-bachelor degrees, one doctoral degree, my dad, from Regent University. So we take it seriously. Our clerks in our office in Virginia Beach, where Regent University is located, are almost all Regent Law students, and oftentimes the clerks in our office in Washington, D.C., they come down for the summer, are Regent Law students. So, again, we'll talk about that. I'm excited about where the school's going as an alumni, but we are getting right back into politics. I want to do it by taking a phone call, 1-800-684-3110, and really focusing in on Joe Biden's rough 24 hours. At least, I mean, listen, politics, lots can change. He's still the front runner, though I'd like to see his fundraising numbers. Maybe he'll blow us away with the moderates out there who have been waiting to give money to somebody other than Bernie Sanders or an unknown. The Bernie Sanders surrogates are right that he thinks are too mean and too tough. Please stop, Bernie Sanders surrogates. You're too tough because I'm going to go up against Donald Trump, okay? And his surrogates. They're really softies when it comes to that. And nor should they be. Politics is about who's going to be the commander-in-chief, the most powerful leader in the world. Let's go right to the phones. Get your calls in now, 1-800-684-3110. What do you think it's been like for Joe Biden, putting aside your own personal politics? No, many of you are conservatives out there, but if you're Democrat, call in too. If you're a Democrat, is he your choice, or do you want someone more to the left? And I mean, I'm being open and honest about that. I'm not going to criticize your politics. I just want an answer to that question for those of you who may be more to the left who are listening to the broadcast or more moderate listening to the broadcast. Are you looking for a Donald Trump alternative? Would he be that one for you? For those of you on the right, I really just want to get your reaction to what this rollout has been like as well. Let's go to Jim in New Hampshire, a very important early voting state. You're going to get a lot of Joe Biden, Jim. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. In a Biden-Trump matchup, what would concern me is the likability factor. Joe Biden being a real likable kind of guy, where Donald Trump not so much. What is your view on that?
Well, I think Donald Trump was pretty well liked. People may not have told pollsters that, but the voters surely showed that. He won states. Republicans, Than, never even had a shot in when it was a Bush running or a Mitt Romney running. I mean, really, they tried in those states, but it was kind of for show. And Donald Trump won them. He won Pennsylvania. He won Ohio. He won Wisconsin. He easily won West Virginia. He went, across places, Michigan. I mean, it was unbelievable. So people like Donald Trump.
Yeah, and if you're a blue-collar worker in one of those states that was suffering economically and has had such a resurgence, I don't think the likability factor is the first thing you're going to look at anyway. It's probably going to be your pocketbook. And quite frankly, I would love to run on the record that has transpired over the last 4 years in those states. So, I mean, I think the caller's right. You can look at that, but I don't think it's going to be the first consideration.
Likability, not number one for who's going to be commander-in-chief. I think people figure that out with Bill Clinton. We're going to be right back on Jay Sekulow Live, taking your comments. Get your calls in now on... Again, on the politics.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So it's been a very interesting rollout for Joe Biden, to say the least. I mean, I was looking at phone, kind of trying to find out if there's any new information about fundraising numbers. I don't know if we'll get those before the show's out over today. Remember, we're live noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time, so if those numbers come out later and you get our show later, we've been looking for them. It just happened after we were live on the air, but we are 100% live. We're also talking about Regent School of Law. I know we've got a caller who's going to be holding on to talk about that in the next segment, but it's really been a tough rollout for Joe Biden. It's just not smooth. For a guy who had plenty of time to prepare it, who's been through the process before, why did he pick up the... I'm going to go to Harry Hutchinson first before I take a phone call. Why do you pick up the phone, Harry, and call Anita Hill, bring that back to light when, I mean, conservatives see it like Clarence Thomas did as a high-tech lynching, what he was in charge of? He was in charge of that as Senate Judiciary Committee Chair. And Anita Hill thinks he wasn't tough enough and didn't do enough. So he cannot win on that issue, and yet he tried to get Anita Hill to, like, forgive him, and she said, nope.
Well, Biden often engages in inexplicable behavior that comes back to bite him. And so you look at Biden, he's got all of this experience. He has 45 years in politics, but I believe increasingly the signs are that that experience could turn into more baggage than he's capable of carrying. And I think the Anita Hill incident illustrates why Joe Biden only got about 1% of the vote when he ran for president on prior occasions. And so I think his popularity could erode now that he's a candidate. Now that the Justice Democrats are going after him, now that he has to actually compete with Bernie Sanders and Beto O'Rourke and the other 18 or 19 candidates that are in the race.
Yeah, he is officially the 20th candidate to enter the race. they're not going to be nice. I mean, they're going to throw barbs. I mean, the fact that they that he's already got his team saying, oh, Bernie Sanders needs to get his people under control. You got to be tough to run for president. Tough, especially look who your opponent is going to be if you actually get to the starting line, as Donald Trump said. Donald Trump. As someone, again, as you know, my dad is one of his personal attorneys. I've spent time with the president. You got to be pretty tough to deal with Donald Trump if you're trying to take him out. He's going to be fighting hard. Wes, you got to know Joe Biden. I would think that Joe Biden's got these two sides. I mean, he's a longtime politician. Maybe it's just come too easy for him on the political side because he did it so young and he never really had maybe serious races until he tried to run for president. Just had problems with the plagiarism, had problems with trying to compete with Hillary and Obama. That wasn't going to happen either, so he didn't do well then. But you got to know him in a very serious way. It seems like as a statesman, he performed those duties very well and very honorably. But as a politician, maybe he's just not as tested as you would imagine him to be.
Yeah, he bills himself. He did as recently as yesterday as a human gaffe machine. You know, he does make a lot of mistakes when he's talking. He is likable. In my experience working with him at Dover Air Force Base, he was so down to earth and so approachable. And the families really appreciated him being there to comfort them. But I think it's predictable that he's being attacked by the other candidates who are in the pool with him on the Democrat side. That's not a surprise. You mentioned the Justice Democrats. Alexandra Rojas yesterday said about Joe Biden, we can't let a so-called centrist like Joe Biden divide the Democrat Party. And that is going to be typical. It's going to be a real knife fight on the Democrat side. Joe Biden is way too centered, too much of a centrist to appeal to that wing of the party. And yet at the same time, in his appeal to the American people, I think he's making a colossal mistake. He said he wants to take America back to the way it was. Well, keep in mind that right now we have the lowest unemployment in 30 years, the lowest Hispanic and Black unemployment in history, a booming stock market. Because of President Trump reducing regulations, we became one of the largest producers of oil and gas. Home mortgage rates are still low. You know, manufacturing is exploding. Tax reform gives the average family somewhere between $2,400 and $4,000 a year extra in their bank accounts. Do we really want to go back to the good old days of Obama Biden with massive unemployment and, you know, companies moving overseas and being told, as they told us, that the days of a booming manufacturing sector of the American economy were never coming back? That's the thing that that Vice President Biden is talking about in his appeal to America. He wants to take us back to the way we were. And I think the voters have spoken very clearly in voting for President Trump. They do not want to go back to the way we were. So the general public...
It was because President Trump's first message was make America great again, which Joe Biden then started saying this... But his new message is keep America great. Mm-hmm. We're not going back now. We've already started making it great again. So now we're moving forward. Keep America mm-hmm. great. But you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I knew someone would jump on this because again, they tried to make if the Donald Trump slogan had some racial undertones to them, make America great again, which I think is again reading way too much into that. It's a political slogan. That politicians have used over and over again on both sides of the aisle. But I knew the far left would jump on it, and they did. Here's AOC, Byte 36.
That does not particularly animate me right now. I can understand why people would be excited by that. This idea that we can go back to the good old days with Obama, with Obama's vice president, and I think, you know, there's an emotional element to that, but I don't want to go back. I want to go forward.
So again, Harry, I mean, here's Elizabeth Warren. I mean, now she's, again, not taking as strong of a hit, but he's getting hit hard here by those who consider themselves more liberal than him, even though Elizabeth Warren was a conservative much longer than Joe Biden's never been one. She was a conservative economist when she was in Texas, then got to Boston and suddenly became a liberal economist. By 27, here's Elizabeth Warren. Going after Joe Biden.
At a time when the biggest financial institutions in this country were trying to put the squeeze on millions of hardworking families, there was nobody to stand up for them. I got in that fight because they just didn't have anyone. And Joe Biden was on the side of the credit card companies.
So, Harry, I mean, there you go.
He's got such a history, and I think it's going to come back to bite him. He announced that he will travel to Pennsylvania to make a speech, for instance, about unifying America. Increasingly, the evidence on the ground suggests that left-wing Democrats are already unified in their opposition to Biden, with the Justice Democrats launching a fusillade of attacks on Biden for being a centrist. He claims that he has launched his presidential bid. Why? To reclaim the soul of the nation. Many left-wing Democrats believe Biden is a cancer on the soul of the Democratic Party, which tilts further and further to the left. And so they've moved toward radical abortion on demand, perhaps at the moment of conception, the Green New Deal, Medicare for All, which represents the exchange of one decrepit health care policy, Obamacare, for another health care plan that would put millions of current Medicare recipients at risk. But they've embraced this radical agenda very enthusiastically.
Yep.
I doubt seriously that Biden can go there, and therefore he will face unified opposition.
Let's go to Robert, Michigan, on line one. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, hey, how are you? You know, the thing as I'm listening to this, I begin to realize that I think Joe Biden, you know, Trump said that he believes that Bernie Sanders' time is past. I think, you know, honestly, Joe Biden's time is past. And my question was, how do these people feel about immigration? Well, as I'm listening to this,
they want open borders.
I'm sorry?
They want open borders. I mean, that's the truth. They may say they want some border security, but they want as open borders as possible to illegal immigrants. I mean, I think your line just dropped. Listen, I think both of their times have probably passed, to be honest. Not just because their age either. That's not what I'm saying. I just, this socialism thing, we all can look at different kinds of socialism. None of it's good. None of it's turned out well. And on Joe Biden, I just think he might get the nomination, honestly. I could see him getting the nomination. I could see Bernie Sanders getting the nomination. That doesn't mean that their time is not passed for the country, because that's only the Democrat Party nominating them. So, again, there's going to be plenty to talk about. Here's what you need to look for as we head into the weekend when you're following politics now with Joe Biden in the race. How much money did he raise? Does he announce it? He doesn't have to announce how much he raised the first 24 hours. You could wait to the next quarter to do that. But that is usually a huge kind of line. I'm saying quickly to you, I mean, if you don't release it, it's probably a bad sign. We should get that tonight.
Yeah. It means it was weak. I mean, Beto O'Rourke had 9.4 million when he first announced. And Jordan, Donald Trump has $40 million in the bank. If you don't get an announcement from Joe Biden very soon, it means the number was weak, and simple.
Maybe it's done so well, it takes some time to put together the numbers again. I'll give him time. I mean, if not by Monday at least, but you'd think by the Sunday shows, you'd want those numbers out. We will, again, we got more to talk about as well coming up. If you want to talk about region as well and some politics too.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, and I appreciate you kind of being with us today as we've kind of jumped around with Joe Biden. Again, watch for the first fundraising numbers. What did he raise in the first 24 hours? That's the big number to look at. I mean, Than, final political question of the day. I think the best thing we will know from Biden, the best indication of you know, is the Anita Hill stuff hurting or what? Or what was he able to raise money equal to or greater than Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, no question about it, because you're going to need that money to go to the distance in this primary. It's going to be a long process, a lot of candidates. Jordan, you always look at two numbers. You know that Joe Biden checked the first box. He's going to poll in the top two, probably for the next month. I'd be shocked if he doesn't poll in the top two, at least for the next month. But as far as fundraising numbers go, Jordan, the comparison will be the $18.2 million that Bernie Sanders raised in the first quarter. I think you can also compare it to the almost $10 million that Beto O'Rourke raised in the first 18 days of his campaign. And then ultimately, Jordan, the $40 million that President Trump has in the bank, he's going to have to announce a number that is at least competitive with those in order to communicate the idea that he's going to be a real player in this race. I don't know if he will. My expectation, Jordan, if I had to guess, I think he probably will, but that's the next number we've got to look for.
It's going to be fun. There's going to be lots of politics to talk about. Than Bennett joining us from Washington, D.C. Thanks, Than. We get back to it. You know, my dad texted me. He's at the Regent University board meetings. He's on the board, and he's had a busy couple of weeks with the Mueller report last week and then board meetings in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where Regent University is located, as well as the School of Law. And the ACLJ has a big office there. We have attorneys that join the radio broadcast. We have a studio there that used to be our main studio in Virginia Beach, and still a very big office there with a lot of attorneys. He is up there now, and he texted me and said, you know, do a push for Regent Law, where I'm an alumni. Miles, who's with me on the broadcast right now and is our chief of staff for ACLJ, is an alumni of Regent Law. His wife is an alumni of Regent Law, works for ACLJ. She just argued one of her first federal court cases on her own. I mean, she was the lead attorney, right?
Lead attorney, gave the oral argument in federal district court. Michelle Terry, my wife, this past week, did a great job.
That was a criminal.
It was a criminal civil
matter. I mean, but just to understand, our attorneys get to do a lot of unique work, and for like Michelle, you've had children, you've had a family, but has been able to again with that law degree, when she was ready, come right back at it and head to the court.
Definitely, and a lot of our attorneys you mentioned, 14, were all graduates of Regent University.
14 current ACLJ attorneys are graduates of Regent University School of Law.
And they're not in the same areas of practice. No. I mean, some of them are in international practice, like Olivia Summers and Shahar Gill, who's a good friend of yours, done a lot of work with you.
Yeah, and Shahriar oversees our office in Pakistan. He actually went to law school in South Korea and then did his LLM at Regent. We got to know him at Regent, and that's how we opened up our office in Pakistan. Which is mostly handling and overseeing criminal cases. And he travels back and forth and oversees the staff there. And, I mean, those are criminal Christian persecution cases. And that again, those relationships developed because of Regent Law, that Shahar ended up doing his LLM there, clerking at the American Center for Law and Justice. So that's some. But the list continues. I mean, from very senior, Skip Ash, very senior attorney, one of our most senior attorneys, and C.C. Heil, to some of our most junior. But just let's go through everybody who's here right now.
Jordan, you mentioned Skip already and CeCe. Matthew Clark is a senior counsel for digital advocacy, works with our digital department.
Yep.
Everything social media and online. Ben Sisney is a senior litigator with us out of our D.C. office.
They're co-authoring a book with me through the biggest publisher in the country, Hachette. One of their imprints, Center Street, is it's called The Next Red Wave, purely political book. It's coming out because we all have campaign experience that we don't talk about as much on this broadcast. You know, it's really partisan experience, but the book will be, and that comes out in the fall. And I wanted to really work with them again because they were a year ahead of me at Regent Law, but we worked together, founded a law journal actually together, and we're now they're co-authoring a book, and they're both Regent Law grads. Let me take a call, and we'll go through some more of our attorneys who are here. And that this does not count people who have worked for ACLJ that went to Regent, right, or that were trained as clerks and then went out into private practice to do other kinds of law, or went into government, politics. I mean, the list goes on, because if you want a good relationship, if you want a chance at really getting to know us at the ACLJ in law school, the best law school to go to is Regent. We don't take a ton of clerks from other law schools. We take some, but not a ton. Let's go to the call. Jordan in D.C. has been holding on. We appreciate that. Jordan, we're going to get your info, too. If you're interested in Regent, make sure we got that. But thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yeah, so I went to law school straight out of college and had to drop out because I developed some vision issues. Yep. Subsequently came down, worked on Capitol Hill for a House committee, and then great, transitioned into law enforcement, have been a police officer ever since. So I'm 35, and it's something that has never gone away, that itch. And I have a lot of attorneys in court encourage me to go back and finish up. So I guess my question is, I've been praying about it, and I just landed on your program as I was scanning the radio. Wow. Is it too late? You know,
no,
I'm
way
afraid that maybe opportunity.
Let me say one: you'd still be in the younger side of law school. And I will say this: I mean, I was 26. So I finished almost 30 years old. I turned 30 the summer that I graduated. So, and I was kind of in the middle of the group. There are some that go right out of college, but honestly, I think life experience makes law school a whole lot easier. It's kind of like a break compared to the ones who go right out of undergrad, Jordan, and it's like, oh my, this is much harder than undergrad. Well, yeah, you don't get, you know, it's law school. It's a professional degree, and from your law enforcement background, from your work on Capitol Hill. But I'm not going to name names. One of my good friends in law school, and this kind of shows you how it kind of crosses the age groups, was already an MD who had kids who were only 10 years younger than me, and he decided to go back to law school. And he is, when he started, I will say he was significantly older than you, Jordan. So you're absolutely not too old. And it's a career that, you know, once you have that JD and you've got this law enforcement background, I mean, you could jump into so many different fields would be open to you. I think, you know, it's, I'm not going to tell you it's 100% what you should do. It should, you know, it's on your heart, and you found our broadcast today. But I really encourage you. I mean, if you we're going to get your information. Do you have anything else you want to ask us for?
No, that's all. It was really
all right. Well, we're going to get you the info, Jordan, on Regent. We hope to, you know, you can take the LSAT again. I'm sure you did that once. You can talk to Regent. I don't know how long ago you were there. You may need to take it again. That's in June. It's offered, and so you still have time to be there in the fall. And again, I think with your background, you're a great candidate for law school if you're in a spot in life where you're already thinking about it. And Regent has a lot of students like that from all ages and all spectrums. Skip Ash went 22 years after his military service. Gives an example right there. Quickly, let's go through our other attorneys. I want to, you know, make sure we cover.
Yeah, we want to mention Marshall Goldman, who does a lot of work with Skip Ash and on military issues and Israel issues. Also, Abby Sutherland, who's been on this broadcast a lot lately, talking about some of our FOIA cases and pro-life cases.
Yep.
Eric Zimmerman is a great attorney, senior litigation counsel, works a lot with Ed White in our Ann Arbor office on Planned Parenthood cases and pro-life cases. But if you're interested in Regent Law, when we were going there, the tagline was, yep, if it's more than a profession, it's a calling. It's a great school.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got Olivia as well in our D.C. office, too. I mean, I go through this list, and it's a lot of folks. Olivia Summers, and then one of our newest attorneys, Regent Law grad, Christina Sterhoff, who is an associate counsel with the ACLJ. We also have one who we can't name, who is a Regent Law grad who oversees one of our offices that we don't talk about for security purposes. So it's 14 current at the ACLJ.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.